In this episode, we sit down with Mohammed Kaka, a dedicated car seat expert who has spent years helping parents keep their children safe on the road.
I've went through different products, I've been through different seminars, I've been through product development, I've worked with NRCS, I've been on child passenger safety campaigns, but as in recent times, I've pretty much been a volunteer paramedic and firefighter.
What do you think are the biggest challenges facing parents today?
I think people are assuming that parents know everything, but they are first-time parents all the time.
Let's start with the basics.
The reality is that no car in the world caters for children under a certain height. Otherwise, your child or passenger in there is just a loose flying object in a car.
When you say the pinch test, so you're pinching the seat belt?
Yes.
Right? And you're seeing how taut it is.
Correct. What happens is that in car seats, the integrity is completely compromised if it's involved in a collision.
If parents only remember a few things about this conversation, right? What are your non-negotiables when it comes to car seat safety?
A simple thing like buckling up your child, if you do not do it correctly, it's gonna cause a problem. It's as important as where your child's gonna sleep for the night and where your child's gonna bath for the night. I think the mom's words were, I would sell my entire life to ensure that I buy a car seat that's going to save my child's life.
Mohammed, for parents who haven't met you before, so tell us a little bit about why you are into car safety and why it's such a big focus for you today.
So, Progeny, I think, importantly, thank you for giving me the opportunity to actually talk about car safety. But probably as far back as 2001 is when I started doing child restraints. And I took very keen interest in understanding what the car safety is about. And through the years, I mean, it's a very long period. Things haven't changed drastically in terms of child passenger safety. And yet, through life experiences and watching what goes on the road, there's a lot more cars and development. The need for the basics of car safety is still missing. Yeah. With that, in my time period, I've went through different products, I've been through different seminars, I've been through product development, I've worked with NRCS, I've been on child passenger safety campaigns continuously, trying to make sure that we can get the message across. But as in recent times, I've pretty much been a volunteer paramedic and firefighter in the south of Johannesburg for an NPO. And with that, you continuously see the carnage on roads. And the need to try to get the subject addressed to every parent as best as possible is something that I want to do. Because what is the ultimate purpose every day? It's actually just to save just one life. If somebody out there has heard a message that turns around and has given a little bit of thought to the fact that, is my child safe in a car if I have a collision today? That would pretty much be an accomplishment from our side. Because just that questioning then leads to turning around and saying, if not, why not, and how do I get the information? So sitting down, it's really actually, in my side, it's really actually just about making sure that children are moving around in cars safely, and should something happen, they would at least not be hurt or killed in a car accident.
Absolutely. And I think why we've brought you on particularly onto this podcast as well, because of your vast experience as well in the car seat business, right? You've worked with many brands, looked at different products, and you understand what fits different families and how people choose and why they choose, right? And you've got that wealth of experience. So it's not just one brand that you've worked with. You've worked with multiple brands. Yes. Right? Just let's set that scene as well. So that parents understand a little bit. I know you have that passion and you see the carnage on the road, but you have the technical know-how as well.
Yeah, so I think very importantly, working through the different brands and different products and development and understanding how this car safety thing has been evolving, there's a lot of information that comes through. And as a parent, when you've got this overwhelming amount of information, sometimes you almost negate the things that are necessary. And what is it to continuously preach or to continuously get parents advice to is the basics of car safety. Mm-hmm. Because remember, we live in a diverse world. We live with diverse situations. We have cars that are different. I mean, if you go now out and you look into a parking lot, there are so many different vehicles now. As a parent, you go like, which car seat's going to fit where? And then you get this overwhelming amount of information that comes through. But it's empowering yourself with the right knowledge that helps you to actually get a fit for yourself. because we are in the age of individualism, if I may put it that way.
Mm.
And if you look at the vast amount of brands, previously there may have been just one or two dominant brands globally. Now, even in the South African landscape, there's a lot of brands. So is there a car seat to fit everybody? Almost, absolutely, yes. You know, whether it's a price-conscious decision, whether it's a safety-conscious decision, whether it's a ease-of-use but those are the things that you want to factor based on your own lifestyle, your own parenting skills. And those are the type of things that I've picked up along the line with all the different product that's out there.
Yeah. Now, I mean, earlier this year, you ran some workshops at Mama Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And your talks were inundated with people. And I think you ran over in time because there were so many questions. What do you think are the biggest challenges facing parents today? What were some of those questions posed to you?
So I think, you know, I mean, when you talk about information that's coming out there, I mean, you could pick up any piece of digital device and try to get information. But what is the correct information?
Mm.
Because what is actually aspiring to you? So I find that a lot of parents are missing is that individual attention to what their requirements are, tailored information.
Mm.
And what's happening with the retail landscape and the way things are going on, we require forums, we require individual one-on-one engagements to ensure, and hence, particularly like when we had at the Mama Magic Expo, I think I was more inundated with people's questioning after the general talk, simply and purely because that parent had a set of twins, this person had this car. So what is it that we're looking for? We're almost trying to find forums that actually, or create forums that actually engage with the client, to a degree that it's individual and not just generic advice. So that was one of the biggest things that I've picked up.
Uh-huh.
And we've also got an evolving market. I think people are assuming that parents know everything. But there are first-time parents all the time.
Yeah.
So you've got to treat every parent as though it's the first time and build up towards it. So I think two important things to take note of is that not all advice is generic. And most importantly, that there are a lot of first-time moms out there who need to be given the basics of what's happening before there's an overwhelming amount of information thrown at them and they don't know what decisions to make.
Okay, I'm glad you're talking about the basics, because right now we have moms and dads that are listening to you, wanting to decide, make that decision on what car seat to get. At what point do they need to get the car seat? Do they need to change car seats? There's such a variety of products out there. Let's start with the basics. What is the basics that they need to know?
So I think the very first basic step, and I think parents will know this, and as adults we've understood that the need for a safety belt in a car is optimal for safety. It's a restraining device that keeps all passengers safe. The reality is that no car in the world caters for children under a certain height. So that means in some vehicles it's about 1.5 meters, mm-hmm. in some it's about 1.35. So no matter how safe a car is, a passenger unrestrained in a vehicle is never going to get the safety of the car. So with that said, child restraints are a definite need up until at least 1.35 meters and if not 1.5 meters. So otherwise your child or passenger in there is just a loose flying object in a car.
So even though you think you have the seatbelt crossed over, but because the height is not correct and the child is too short, it's not doing anything.
100%. So up until when do you need a car seat and from when are you beginning? So obviously, I mean, no parent's going to be able to move around with their child in their arms. There's no restraining device. An arm mm-hmm. is not a restraining device. So from birth all the way up until, it could be around 8-9 years, depending on the length of your child. But what you're really adequately looking for is, if my child was sitting in this car and they had to have a collision, what would keep them back? You'd have to have a safety belt that cuts across the shoulder. You'd have to have a safety belt that goes across the lap belt. But in doing so, it should not be able to have the child slip out. So if the car seatbelt is too high, your child's going to slip out.
Mm.
If you're putting it behind the child's back, they're going to catapult going forward.
Oh, I see.
So the imperative thing to take into consideration is, on either side of the hip and across the shoulder in line with the shoulder is the exact right height for a person to be sitting into a car seat. And the seatbelt will do some sort of safety aspects in keeping a child or passenger restrained. So it's from birth up until around 1.35, 1.5 meters, depending on the car itself, that you need one.
I'll never forget how excited I was to buy our first car seat. And I was insistent. And that was like my baby was born in 2002, so it's a while ago. And I made sure that my husband brought that car seat when we were discharged, brought the car seat into the hospital, and we had her put in there, harnessed. It looked all pretty, but it wasn't just pretty. It was her first growing up moment as we came out of that hospital. And so many people take that for granted, right? Because they take baby out in their arms.
Absolutely.
Into a car, thinking, you know, I can't let go. But it's that first step, you know, and then buckling it in, right? And I'll never forget how long it takes, you know, because it's something that you have to get used to, but it is the right step at the right time.
No, most definitely. I think that the reality behind it is, you know, I often say, you know, from a cute couple, you become parents suddenly. And then there's this whole responsibility.
Yes.
And then you realize you've got this new life and you got to take care of it. And then actually that life is yours. It's an extension of you and you want to do as best as possible to take care. And with that, you then find that suddenly all these things start coming into play. It starts becoming a conscious decision. Now you just got to actually make it work for you.
Mm.
And taking your child home for the first drive. I mean, you know, we're taking pictures. It's an exciting moment. You want that first drive to be safe. I think even as parents and as robust as dads are, you know, it's always about it's my kid and that type of thing. But we also handle our kids gently. It's our kids. So it's such a good moment when you put your child in your first car seat and you strap them up. And that's something that, you know, you need to continuously have with you as your child grows.
Yeah. So does that car seat last forever?
No, definitely not.
That first one that I brought home from hospital?
Not at all. So I think that's it. Everybody kind of gets into that space and place. But just like everything, as you start growing, your body changes,
mm-hmm.
your muscle ability, the child's muscle changes, physiological things change. And it's also getting in and out of a car. So if you remember on the first car chair, you almost have to have your child rearward facing.
Mm-hmm.
They're small. When they're newborn, their heads and necks are a lot more, their head are a lot more heavier than the rest of the body.
Okay.
So the neck doesn't have the ability to support that. There's not good enough muscle tone around your neck.
Right.
And the back is not fully developed. So in doing so, all the head sits at the top. And if you were facing in a forward facing direction, it would cause a lollipop effect or a whiplash effect, which would cause permanent damage or could cause damage to head, neck, and spine, at least if the child is kept back going in that direction. So imperative is that from birth up until a child's head, neck, and spine can deal with forward facing, you need to keep them rearward facing.
I see.
A lot of concern of parents. I can't get to see my child. Mm. My child, those kids sleep a lot. All they're literally doing is they're getting in the car, they're sleeping. Keeping them rearward facing up until that point ensures that should you have severe braking or a little bit of a bumper bashing, that the head's actually being propelled back into the seat. There's no whiplash factors on the neck and it's preventing head, neck and spinal injuries. So that would be your initial stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then as your little one gets a little bit bigger. Now, the whole discussion around rearward facing, and I'm sure that's probably what a lot of parents have a question about, for how long should I face rearward facing? Let me be frank about this. I could sit into a car, and if I sat rearward facing, I would never be subject to the severe forces of whiplash at my age. Because rearward facing, I'm always going back into a seat. There's no head, neck, spinal injuries.
Oh, I see.
It's like a normal adult having a collision. They've got the safest cars, they've got airbags, they've got everything. They have a collision, bumper bashing. They get out, they're fine, they can walk. And a day later, everything starts hurting because of the severe movement there. So if you're traveling rearward facing ever, you're less likely to actually have this head, neck, spinal injuries. So what's important about it is that when can your body actually deal with that? The minimum that requirement is that your child should be able to walk, which is around 15 months, 80 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum you should keep your child rearward facing for.
So 15 months, they're about 80 centimeters in height. Okay.
And how does that go? That basically works on the growth chart that you almost have, that you go for your immunizations. You'll see as your child goes, it scales up accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening at that point, when your child can adequately walk, that means they can now start supporting their own head, neck, and spine from a balance point of view.
Right.
Which means these muscles here are now a lot more developed.
Yes.
And so do other back muscles. So that's an indication of when the earliest is. If you keep them rearward facing for much longer, you're actually doing good to them.
Okay.
Why do parents have to go forward facing? Eventually, you end up with a child who can't get into a rearward facing culture. The constraints in your car, There's not enough room. Maybe your car seat doesn't cater for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to. But what is the general requirement? I would say you could go, or what is the good recommendation, you could go up until about 3.5 or 4 years old. In height, it's about 105 centimeters because that's from a car seat's point of view up to where they can take height. It's about 105 centimeters.
Right.
And you could keep your child maximum rearward facing at 105 centimeters.
Okay. And then obviously, yes, like you're saying, it becomes too uncomfortable for the child to move into the car seat, get in and out, etc. So do car seats these days cater from birth till whatever the age we want to keep them in? Or at what point, so do I, when I change from rearward to forward facing, does my car seat have to change? Do I have to incur that additional expense?
So I think importantly is just remembering that there are three categories. Right. It's the infant category, which is, like I said to you, up until about 15 months. Then I'm going to refer to it as the child category, toddler category, which goes up until about 4 years. And then you've got the booster seat. So remember, the one final stage is when your child sits in a car chair or sits in a car, but the seatbelt's not cutting across. It's sitting near, it's going behind. You need to boost them up so that the normal seatbelt of a car goes. So with that three, you'll find that car seats, what they're trying to do is to say, okay, here's one car seat that fits all.
Yes.
And we call that a monogroup car chair.
Okay.
And then you have a multi-group car chair. So you could buy your car seats either or. You could go for just an infant car chair now, and then later on move to the next stage, and then finally to the booster.
Mm-hmm.
Three car chairs. Or you could buy a car chair that would start from now in a rearward-facing direction from newborn and go up until about 7 or 8 or 9 years, and it could become a booster eventually. Important to consider is that, yes, it does seem like it's a big purchase off, and why do I need to keep buying car chairs all the time? If you're starting off a family and you have your first kid,
yes,
and you buy a car chair now that you're going to use for a while, when the next kid comes in, you've got to buy another car chair too, which is going to be the same thing, so you're duplicating efforts. Whereas if you've got a 15-month gap, your first car chair is maintained, your newborn goes into that car chair, and then they can grow comparatively.
Mm.
I would say generally car seats that basically take multi-stages are good for when you're carrying multiple passengers. Maybe you're a granny. Maybe you're an aunt. You're fetching a younger kid. You need to swap the car seat around for the older kid.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go for one car seat, keep it there for a long time. Also, what to take into consideration is that generally by guidelines, from what I know from most of the product developers, maximum of 10 years is allowed on a car chair of usage. So the more and the longer that you use a car chair, remember your car chair sits in your car. It's subject to direct sunlight. Your child eats in there. They live in there.
That's true.
How often do people change their cars?
I hope they're just cleaning it at least.
So,
with besides the car chair, changing the car.
The integrity of a car chair could obviously also become compromised with sunlight and stuff. So sometimes you think, well, okay, well, this is going to last me and it's going to go all the way through. But halfway down the line, the polystyrene's broken off and stuff. So
that's
always an economical decision? No. What's best to do is to consider your situation and understand what it is. Because if you take an infant car chair, a small car chair,
mm-hmm.
and you'll remember this, you kind of strapped your little one in the hospital and then you got to your car.
Yeah.
When you got home, your child was still sleeping, didn't disturb the sleep, and you went from there into your house.
Yes.
And then you use it into your travel system. Now try accommodating your diaper bag, your groceries, your kids, taking them out of a stroller, and then installing them in a car. For a mom, it's a very difficult thing to install a child in a car that's newborn, especially because you don't get a lot of things right. There's a lot going through your mind. So you can actually make your life easier by mm-hmm. buying separate group car chairs. And you can also make it a lot more feasible if you want a multi-group car chair. So those are the two main considerations between the two.
Okay. And what's the big hoo-ha about ISOFIX?
Okay. So very importantly is through the years and with development, so car chairs, if they're not correctly installed in a car, then it's actually worse because you have a car chair and a child flying around.
Mm-hmm.
So seat belts were commonly used for installing car chairs. What it did come across with all the different car seat manufacturers, they went, my car seat fits well in this car, but not in that car. It works well here, but not there. Then you'd find that parents, and they did this. I mean, there was a lot of research into it where they took parents and they pitched up at a parking lot and they said, let's check your car seat if it's correctly installed. And they found that there was a very significant amount of car seats that were incorrectly installed. So what is it? It's actually that it's such a difficult process to install using a seatbelt sometimes that you jeopardize the safety of the actual car chair by not getting it right. Hence, with European standards, car safety standards, and the research that went behind it, they came out with ISOFIX. So what is ISOFIX? ISOFIX is a safer form of installation where you're less likely to make human error in the installation of a car chair. Now, why am I saying this so deliberately about mm-hmm. the fact that is ISOFIX a must to have? Suddenly people are going to go, well, okay, now ISOFIX is the best. I need to buy a new car because my car doesn't have ISOFIX. South African marketplace is still trying to catch up. There are a number of cars out there that actually don't have ISOFIX. Yeah. You buy a new car, you're going to get it. But if you're driving an older model car for a parent that's driving an older model car, then it could be a tears.
But the priority ultimately is child in a car seat.
100%.
Irrespective, right?
And there's still car chairs that actually maintain that. So yes, in the European countries, they're moving a lot more from the usage of a seatbelt because of incorrect installation. But there are still car seats that actually use seatbelts. ISOFIX is actually just a safer form of installation. It's not a must-have, but if you've got it, go for it because that's the best thing to actually do.
Okay. Okay, great. So if parents only remember a few things about this conversation, right? What are your non-negotiables when it comes to car seat safety?
It's quite a few. So I think the first most important thing, and I'm not keen to tell parents what not to do. I'm more keen to tell them what to do.
Okay.
And what is it that you really want to do is have a conscious decision. Just like you're going to get into your car and take the seatbelt and slap it up and say, well, I hope this is going to keep me back in the collision, in the carnage of the road, of the peak traffic, and the traffic light's not working. Just start off with that conscious decision. And then ask a question. Because the incorrect usage of a car seat, i.e. or incorrect installation, is going to jeopardize the safety. A simple thing like buckling up your child, if you do not do it correctly, it's going to cause a problem when you do have a collision. I can take you back to an incident of how important it is with regards to actually buckling your child properly. So they turn around and parents are often told about the pinch test. The pinch test is ensuring that the harness, you're pretty much just about capable of just grabbing it, but you can't pinch it. That's how taut your harness needs to be
okay. In
order to keep your child safe. I had a particular client that we'd obviously spoken to and went through car seat and explained everything. And the child was 12 weeks old. And it was 2 days before Christmas. They were traveling down to the coast, and they were in a SUV. It was a double cab. And all that happened is dad was driving. They were having a usual trip. And on the oncoming side, he'd picked up a car coming onto their side of the road. So he veered a little bit off, but the car continued to come across. Mm-hmm. And as it came across, it hit him at the back. The car went into the drain, and the car rolled 7 times. Horrific incident.
Mm.
The 12-week-old survived the crash, and I'll explain to the injuries. The mother was in hospital for 2 weeks. She was airlifted to a hospital in Johannesburg. The dad managed to be okay. The car was total wreck. But the child had a slight femur fracture. And what had happened is that as they'd left, they tightened the harness, and mom was like, I think it needs to be just loosened a little. You know, because it looks really tight. And what had happened is the car rolled multiple times, but when it came to a stop, the harness just slightly slipped off. And so the little one didn't fly out or get hurt in the collision. But just at the end, her fragile body just managed to get a little bit of a tap because when the car came to a stop, to the final stop, it slipped off.
How old was she again?
12 weeks.
12 weeks.
Yes. So this probably happened about 9 years ago. Dad continuously used to maintain contact with me purely based on the fact that she'd survived that collision and continuously, consciously. I think the mum's words were, I would sell my entire life to ensure that I buy a car seat that's going to save my child's life. Because that's how horrific the accident was, but everybody survived it, and there was some minor injuries. But that's just a little decision, a pinch test. So always follow manufacturer instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Always ensure you're doing the right thing. Turn around and ask yourself the question, is this car seat actually going to save my child's life? If not, you've got a question to answer. There's a booklet. There's research to check. Is the harness at the right height? Is the pinch test correct? Those basics are the things that you need to focus on, and you'll get everything right.
So the harnesses and the clips and things like that, that the products come with, will help you to make sure that it's taut enough, right?
Correct. So you have, on certain car seats, you'll have indicators that less time consuming, you see a green indicator, well, that's great. But things like just a normal pinch test. I don't think parents realize how important a harness is around the child of a car,
so
in a car seat.
Just hold on a second, go back, step back. When you say the pinch test, so you're pinching the seat belt,
yes,
right? And you're seeing how taut it is,
correct,
whether you can pinch it or you can't. So the belt on that's going through this
abdomen and over the abdomen of the kid. Child needs to be taut enough so that you aren't able to actually get the two ends to actually touch each other. So you not shouldn't be able to. It's called a pinch test. So you just grab it and you see, well, this is taut. There shouldn't be, I can't get more than this. There shouldn't be a whole big loop like this. You should just try and pinch it. And
because then there's too much of leeway to move backwards and forwards. I got you. Got you. So, you were saying.
And in relation to the harness, and I think parents that have 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds resonate with this. You're suddenly driving and all of a sudden you see your kid right next to you. How did you get out of the harness?
Oh, yes.
You did the pinch test? Great. But there's one thing that parents don't actually do is adjust the height of the harness.
Mm-hmm.
So when your harness sits here in line with the shoulder, it's okay. So one is pinch test, and number 2 is to ensure that it sits in line with your shoulder. Why is it important? If it sits below the shoulder blade, it has the ability to slip off because it's coming here across on the side and not here across over.
Okay.
If it's too high up, it's exactly the same. So you find that kids are able to actually squeeze out of the harness because of the gap that sits here. So 2 things. 1, taut. 2, must be in line with the shoulder, maybe about a centimeter above or a centimeter below. That is so important because if you get to a point on your car seat as you adjust the headrest, you'll see you can't go anymore and it sits below. It's actually an indicator to say, my child's outgrown this car chair. So if you look at the harnessing of your child, it should be able to tell you whether it's taut enough and how your child is growing this. And parents buy a car chair, and you know, and you'd spoken early on about one car seat fits all, but never adjust the harness. And yet the child is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and the harness is meant to adjust, the car seat's meant to rotate. So a lot of parents are like, but my child's getting out of the car seat. It's like, when else did you adjust the harness? About 1 year. It's like, has your kid not grown in 1 year? As your child grows, keep going with it. So harnessing is really important.
Yes. Wow. That's interesting. So ideally, I mean, I'm assuming there are manuals, like you say, but do lots of the product manufacturers have videos or run workshops as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think with the digital age that we have, there's a lot of information. What I would do is not just to tailor it around one particular brand or almost refine your choices. So have a look at multiple different avenues of research, whether it be forums, whether it be supplier information, and then almost try to see what the generic information is being that shared. Oh, well, they're all talking about the same thing. They're all talking about ISOFIX. They're all talking about harnessing. They're all talking about this. That's the questions that you want to make sure that you're always addressing for yourself and then fit yourself into a brand that's there.
Right.
You know, it's okay. With choices that we do in everything life. You buy a pair of sneakers are there. But you work it out.
You do. Now, I mean, we know that parents have lots of challenges. I mean, some children hate being in the car seat, right? Yes. It's just, my child hates the car seat. You know, it's just a short trip. We find excuses to say, okay, it's fine. Let them sit out. I mean, that's my biggest bugbear, I must admit. When I see children out of car seats, you know, toddling in the middle of the car whilst the car is moving. But I understand that there are challenges. You know, there's tantrums and there's so much going on behind the scenes at home, you know, in mom's life, in dad's life, in the household. And sometimes we try to just appease the child, appease ourselves for some quiet time. So in your head, like from what you've seen, what are some of the tricks that parents can use to make car seats comfortable for their children?
Look, the reality behind it is, it's pretty much around, and I'm not going to say it's around parenting, but it's actually finding out what your child loves best.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because you'll find your child's good every day about a car chair, and suddenly the day that they're sick, they're not.
Yeah.
Make it a non-negotiable. And I'm saying this out of experiences. I actually just closed my eyes for a sec because I'd given a minute of something just to remind myself about a mom losing a child on a bad day.
Yeah.
And it was an experience that I was well aware of. Very particularly make sure her child is strapped up every day. Tough day at work, load shedding, she's late for work, and didn't buckle the child. And as she'd come out of her driveway, they had a collision, and the child had passed on. So horrific, But horrific, what I'm saying to you, it's a non-negotiable, means that do everything possible as a parent to encourage your child. If you've got to get them the tablet. I mean, in today's day and age, like, here we go, there's a tablet. And that it is non-negotiable, have the fun.
And there's lots of toys as well that you can hook onto your car seat as well, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stimulating things. So I think the biggest thing about children being in car seats is having them stimulated in a time period. And definitely you'll find that kids that are overstimulated want to see a lot more. So sometimes kids don't want to sit rearward facing purely because the world is going backward for them. Well, and if they've passed the minimum and they really rather have them in a car chair but face them forward facing.
Right.
Stimulation is really important for all kids, and I think we know that that's important. So find things that actually stimulate them, things that they kind of like for the short trips. It's a reward system. That's what it is. When they're much smaller, they sleep a lot more.
Yes.
So what you want to do is ensure there's adequate comfort. Sometimes I think we've also got to understand, you know, it's within the car. Is it too hot? Is the child crabby? Has the child not been fed? Get the timing right. Parenting is about that, you know, just getting the timing right.
How long, I remember you talked about this previously, but I want to go over this again. How long should you leave a child in a car seat for? I mean, sometimes we're traveling to Durban from Johannesburg, and that's a 6 to 7 hour journey, you know, or some parents are going down to Cape Town or Bloemfontein. So what is the time you should leave them in there before stopping for a break?
Yes, I think the first thing is just remember you're buckling this child up, they're really tight, then harness, they're kept in one position.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no movement. In infant car chairs, I would say about an hour is max, hour and a half. They are not meant to sleep in there for long periods of time. You've got to break your journeys if you have to. Especially in infant car chairs, because with the infant car chairs, your child's back is not fully developed. Keeping them in one position, you know, it's almost at an incline. So if you're keeping an infant in an incline, what you're actually doing is you're making it a lot more difficult for the body, to internal organs, to keep blood circulation going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost the same, like, you know, just sitting in one position, you get a lot of blood clotting in your certain areas. So that's one of the things. It's try to break the journey every 2 hours if you can, even if it's for a 10 or 15 minute stretch, just to get the body in motion. But in newborns and infants specifically, an hour is pretty much okay. More than that, you're not really doing good to your little one.
Yep. Now, how do you respond to somebody who's you've met who might have said to you, look, I get what you're saying, but my children are older, we survived without a car seat. How do you manage those kind of arguments?
So particularly, I'll give you a case of my scenario. Currently, there's certain injuries that are showing up now at my age. I was involved in a collision very young, 3.5 or 4 years old, and I'd suffered some small injury, but it's impacting me now. So sometimes you just think, oh, well, you know, it's fine. I've managed to get through the day. If you ask me, is it a purchase that people want to just knowingly do? Yes, absolutely. But I almost allude to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we actually kind of know we can't do without. You know, you get a new car and you need to make sure you got insurance. Because just in case I have a collision.
Yes. And most dealers won't let you take the car off the floor without insurance, right?
Correct. And that's what it is. So you get your car, you get your insurance. And it's the same thing with regards to if you think, well, I got to get a medical aid policy to ensure that the day that in case I'm sick, I would have that to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope never that never happens.
Yeah.
And car seats, exactly the same as that. That conscious decision to turn around to say, well, if I've not had a collision in 9 years and I've never tested out that car seat, I'll be grateful for the fact that it never happened to me. But should it happen, I would never doubt the fact that, you know what, I took all reasonable precautions to ensure that my child's either not going to be injured or killed in a collision.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Now, during the winter time, and especially with little ones, no matter what season of the year is as well, moms tend to bundle them up quite a bit, right? We want to make sure they're warm, you know, so lots of clothing, lots of layers, etc. Could that be, is that a good thing to put children into your car seat with lots of layers on?
Not ideally. Not ideally. And purely, again, it boils down to harness placement. So remember what happens is that take particularly a puffy jacket. It's now hampering the ability for the harness to remain properly taut onto the body itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing. And then obviously kids heat up a lot faster when they're smaller. So in a closed, confined space like that, you'll find their body temperatures rise quickly. So ideally, if you can, it's best to have a wrap over as opposed to actually wrap them in. In Europe, particularly like in Nordic countries and stuff, you'll actually find that they actually have jackets or growers that actually fit into the car chairs so that you harness them properly internally and that remains part of a car chair. And then you open them up. So ideally, winter, preferably have a look, because again, if it's affecting the harness, it could be there. rather adjust the temperature of the vehicle and have them dressed quickly in and out if you can after. Or in the infant's case, just throw loose blankets over so it doesn't affect the harnessing of the actual car seat itself.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So now I'd like to get to something very interesting. Quick one for you. There's obviously lots of common myths, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regarding car seats, like we've been through some of them. But I've just got some quick fire questions that I just want you to give me a true or false for now before we conclude. So some parents say that once my child turns one, I can forward face them.
False.
False. A winter jacket is fine under the harness.
False.
All car seats fit all cars.
False.
It's okay to use a secondhand seat without knowing its history.
False.
Oh, all false. I'll give you a chance to share some insights on what we've talked about now.
So no one size fits all in terms of car seats.
Yep.
In terms of the harnessing capabilities, definitely compromised. Just remind me again, what was the last one? That was the most interesting
one. The second-hand seat without knowing its history.
So bearing in mind that because it's a car seat, we don't know what the integrity of the car seat was prior to that. Taking a second car seat from your sister is great.
Mm.
She'd be able to give you a lot more history about the car chair. What happens is that in car seats, the integrity is completely compromised if it's involved in a collision.
Oh, really?
One collision, you got to get rid of it. It's because there can't be any test or capability check to see whether it can sustain another collision.
Okay.
So if the person on the other side can give you some sort of a liability disclosure to indicate that they will take all reasonable accountability for the fact that this car seat is not being involved in a collision, then maybe a second-hand car seat may be something you can consider. But you wouldn't want to risk it if you don't have the history of the car chair. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And sorry, what that also goes, the fact that the car chairs and second-hand car chairs, you really need to do integrity checks. Their insides, like polystyrenes, harnesses, you need to thoroughly check. Sometimes, you know, people store away car chairs and you'll find that maybe it's been bitten into by a rat in the garage or whatever. You may never see that the harness is compromised. So second-hand car chair, if you can get it to the manufacturer and if they can confirm that everything's fine, which a lot of them won't necessarily openly do, then not. So ideally, if you're getting a second-hand car chair, please understand the history of where it's coming from.
Okay, noted. And the first one we talked about, when my child turns one, I can forward face them. But you earlier, you gave me a height and an age. We said about 15 months.
About 15 months. Good height to go for is 80 centimeters. And definite consideration is to see if your child is actually walking. That's minimum.
Yes. And let's be honest, like at 12 months, which is 1 year, not everybody is at the same level. You know, some children are taller, shorter. Some children are walking and some children are not as well. And in terms of weight and height, it all matters. Different.
Yeah. And what the safety standards regulation, very important to mention, is that with the development of car seats, they came out with ISAS standard safety. What does it do? Because no two kids will have the same height, will have the same weight and same age. Sometimes your little one's 12 months, but weighs a lot more. So weight in a car chair is up until the maximum allowable weight that that car chair can sustain in a collision. And it doesn't mean you're going to get to 13 kilos on some car chairs.
Okay. So weight is equally as important as height.
Yes, because that means you cannot exceed the weight. That's a maximum weight. It gives you a recommendation. So don't be guaranteed that your child's going to be 13 because, or age-wise. So some people go, well, I should be able to get 12 years. I must get 12 years here. Sometimes your child's going to grow a lot faster.
Mm.
How do you move from one car chair to the next? It's all based on height.
Okay.
So when your car chair, when your child reaches 80 centimeters, you may need to consider moving over. So you need to see the height up until when your child can use that car chair. But that width goes with the percentile growth and it goes with the growth on your immunization chart.
Okay.
Because people will go, so my child's 13 kilos and this car chair is only going to be 18 kilos and my child's 1.5 years. That means I can only use it for like 6 months. No, your child's going to actually change. The whole growth is going to change. Your child will become lean muscle, but height is your most important direction is to where to move over across.
Okay. Now, when we talked about, you said all car seats, but all cars, just let's remind everybody again why that is false.
Okay, so you must remember car safety restraining devices like seatbelts. If you were using a seatbelt, some are longer, some are shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, within cars also, you have differences. Some car seats have airbags up front, some don't have airbags up front. Then comes ISOFIX, not ISOFIX. Parents that have particular trouble are triplets. Because how do you get three car seats across? And you need to have three ISOFIX anchorage points. So each, I often used to have this in at the Mama Magic shows. Parents would go like, okay, so we're here. We believe we've got to get ISOFIX. I'm like, you can get an ISOFIX, you can get a seatbelt. And I was like, I told you you need a new car. You don't need to change your car drastically. And hence, with all car chairs, you're going to try and get a car chair that fits. Very, very important to ensure that the car chair you're going to buy is fitted into your car before you make that purchase.
Okay.
Because you're going to find a sign that turns around and says, you're not allowed to bring this car chair back for an exchange if it doesn't work. Make sure you do it properly because it's a big spend and you want to make sure it's going to work well.
Absolutely. Well, lastly, if you have 30 seconds to speak to every parent in South Africa right now, right, what would you tell them about their choice of car seat and car seat safety?
So the reality behind it is a subject that everybody almost finds daunting and afraid of. But you want to make this a joyous occasion for you getting a car seat.
Mm.
If I had to tell any parent what the first thing that they would need to do or focus on to buy when they're getting their children is ask yourself, are you going to be traveling with your child? And that's the first thing to do is to get a car seat. It's as important as where your child's going to sleep for the night and where your child's going to bath for the night. So car seats, you can hang back on a stroller if you need to for a while. But your car seat is your most important decision. Make sure that you understand it, just like you can understand where your child's sleeping, just how you understand how your child's bathing and what you're feeding them.
Mm.
Your travel car seat is the first thing to get.
Okay. And if there's one action you'd want parents to take today after listening to this, what would that be?
The action to just consciously find that there's a lot of joy in this. It's a responsibility. We have a child that we know as parents, it's our responsibility to guide them and to teach them and ensure their safety. You know, whether you've got a 22-year-old and she's driving next to you, just watch the car, watch this, watch that. You're always looking out for them. Start early.
Mm.
That's all it is. Start looking out for them from now.
Yep. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Mohammed. I really appreciate it. It's just been so insightful, as always. And I know that every single parent listening is going to take so much out of this. So we really appreciate your insights and the inspiration. And I'm so glad that you are on this journey with us at Mama Magic to keep spreading the word.
Thank you, Prajani. And I think, like I said to you, parenting is fun. It's actually joy and there's a lot of goodness that goes with it. But enjoy the responsibility that goes with it as well.
Thank you. So thank you so much for joining us today for our session on car seat safety with Mohammed Kaka, our expert today, sharing his knowledge and his wisdom and inspiring all our moms and dads, helping you to choose the right car seat, understanding why it is so important for you to make this decision and make sure that when you take baby home from that hospital, he or she is straight into that car seat that both of you have selected that suits your lifestyle and your family. So thank you so much for subscribing to Lights, Camera, Baby, to the Mama Magic podcast. We appreciate your support. If you know another parent who needs to listen to this, please feel free to share these words of wisdom, these insights with them. We know that it's going to make a difference to their lives. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, please watch out for when we release the next one. Share your thoughts with us. We'd love to hear more from you on what you want to hear about. So until next time, happy parenting.